All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's coming. The spring is coming. For those of you who live in cold weather climes, or for those of you who just went through the week of weather hell and you weren't ready for it, you are just not used to it. Well, the spring is coming and the boys of summer are back, baby. And that's not all that's happening in sports. It's a busy weekend. It's only going to get nuttier as we get closer to March, which actually is a week away, so I don't know what I'm talking about. We're really close to March. But then as we march through March and we get into April, the second busiest month of the year in sports usually. So we're getting there. And I am reveling in the fact that this spring will be nothing like last spring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Monday. If you're still chugging through your Sunday, hey, I'm with you. That's kind of how I look at things. The morning begins when the microphone is turned off for the last time. So I understand you're staying up late. I certainly can identify with that. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I hope you had a great weekend. Mixed in some sports, of course, but it's not necessary to listen to the show. I know that I always enjoy getting away from sports on the weekends when I can. So this time of the year, you know, you can kind of check in, check out, check in, check out. But I really enjoyed going out to dinner on Saturday evening. So the fact that the NHL Outdoors was postponed from an afternoon start, or as Mikko Rantanen said, noon o'clock. It was a noon o'clock start. It's my new favorite thing. So we had an early start, and Lake Tahoe was decked out in all of her glory. And then after 20 minutes, they decided to postpone because it was too sunny. It's not something you hear every day with hockey. It was too sunny, and the sunshine was causing some slushy conditions, and the ice was in rough shape. I'm sure it's not the worst that they've ever skated on, but they decided to give them a 9-hour break, a 9-hour intermission, and come back for period two. In the interim, I was able to go out to dinner, and I got to tell you, it was about the closest I felt to, I'm going to use my air quotations, normal in the past, say, I don't know, 10, 11 months. Maybe there have been other moments. I think getting back to church inside our sanctuary a few months ago, that was a moment that kind of struck me as so supremely normal, even though the chairs are all spread out. But I went out to eat at this Italian restaurant in a little town in New Jersey and went with some friends. And it was noisy and it was busy. And our waiter apologized multiple times because we were waiting for parts of our meal. It was just so normal. And my friends and I looked at each other and we thought, wow, if you closed your eyes and just sat here and listened, maybe even opened your eyes then and looked around at the people that are just enjoying life and so thankful to be out on a Saturday night, it felt like a typical Saturday night from, say, 2 years ago. And it was great. And we left and we were stuffed. And it was such a cool experience. Something so simple to go out to dinner in a restaurant where there's lots of people enjoying themselves. It was awesome. So I enjoyed my Saturday night for that reason. I already gave you my intense movie review. I'm not going back to that, but it was nice. It was nice to just do some kind of normal things and enjoy life a little bit without having to worry about the pandemic or, you know, how quickly we come out of it or vaccinations or anything like that. And then on Sunday, it was National Love Your Pet Day. Nothing gives me smiles more than seeing all of the photos of your pets, and you're blowing up our social media. So we're trying to keep up with you. Producer Dave is retweeting many of them from our show account, After Hours CBS. And so you can check him out there. You all have some of the funniest, goofiest, most handsome, adorable pets that I have ever seen. So thank you for sharing them with us. And also on our Facebook page, we're trying to like every single one of them because we're not going to be discriminatory when it comes to pets. Even those of you who've sent pictures of fish, or I saw a couple horses on our Facebook page too. National Love Your Pet Day should be every day, but this is a good excuse for us to post a bunch of photos on social media. So flooding social media with our pet pics, that's awesome. And I think it's pretty fitting that I spent an hour trying to clean up dog hair, an hour vacuuming and moving furniture and cleaning dog beds, washing my dog's laundry. Does anybody else wash your dog's laundry? Or is it just me? I actually do loads of laundry for my dog. Her towels, her beds, her toys, or we call them her babies. And so that's what I was doing for a good portion of Sunday, which does indicate how much I love my pet. So I hope you had a great weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, you can find us, A-Law Radio. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS, as I mentioned. And we've also got our show poll up, our first Man Crush Monday of the entire year. So we kind of morph from Monday MVP during football to now our Man Crush Monday. I saw, producer Dave, I saw a post on our Facebook page from a listener who said he does not recognize any of the four names on the list, to which I responded, wow, maybe you should spend more time listening to the show, because I'm pretty sure we mention Giannis Antetokounmpo at least once a week, if not once every other night. Sidney Crosby, while I haven't mentioned him as much because we're still kind of rounding into our hockey form, how do you not know who Sidney Crosby is? Novak Djokovic, I mean, he might be the best tennis player in the world right now. And then Naomi Osaka, I'll give you a pass, but she was everywhere in the last week. So maybe this guy's been buried under a rock?
I mean, I can understand if you're not into tennis or not into hockey, but even if you're not a hockey fan, you've probably heard of Sidney Crosby.
Haven't you?
At some point in your life.
Maybe.
And maybe if you've heard of the Greek freak, maybe you don't know exactly how his actual name is said, pronounced, spelled, and all those things. But I don't know. That's a tough one to have never heard of any of these candidates.
I think Giannis actually has become one of those names or one of those people, one of those figures that you can just say his first name. Now, I think it's not like Madonna where he's super famous, but only that people don't want to say his last name, so they just identify him as Giannis.
Yeah. Goodness. They don't want to mispronounce it. They just go with Giannis. That's fair. But
he's the reigning MVP and defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
I'm just going to assume this guy had completely checked out for the last 15 years? Isn't Sidney Crosby been playing in the NHL for 15 years?
Yeah. This person hasn't watched sports in a while, I guess.
Maybe he's only 13. And so that's why he doesn't know any
of
these people.
It's a possibility.
Okay. We attract listeners of all shapes and sizes and ages and credos. So if you know nothing about any of these players and you've never heard the name Sidney Crosby, this is the show for you. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. So we're just teasing. It's totally fine if you don't follow sports. I don't know if my mom would know anybody, but she would know Sidney Crosby, I hope. Oh, no. I'm going to have to ask her on Monday on the phone, Mom, do you know who Sidney Crosby is? I think she would. And the reason she would is because she grew up in Northeast Ohio, halfway between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So I'm thinking she's probably familiar with Crosby. But the others, she might not know. So I'll cut you some slack. I recognize that we don't all operate in the same stratosphere when it comes to sports, but you should get to know Naomi Osaka. She's one athlete that I want to see more of in 2021. So I'm kind of throwing that question out there, and some of you have responded. We sent some athletes to Mars last week, just for fun, of course. But now we're asking you, who are athletes that you would like to see more of in 2021? And Naomi Osaka is one of those that I feel like is so good for the sport. She injects life into the tennis world, energy. There's humor. There's giggles. She's authentic. She's genuine. She's sincere. And even when she's out there and she's locked in and focused on the tennis court, you still know that she's this young woman who is playing a game, as she reminds us. the funnest part is getting out there and matching wits and matching skills with another opponent. And she's talked about how much Serena Williams is her idol. Well, with her fourth Grand Slam title, she's becoming the number one name in women's tennis. And so it was kind of cool to hear from her again. She gets nervous and she giggles and she just wears her heart on her sleeve when she's not on the court. And she was asked about her emotions and her feelings after winning her second Australian Open.
For me, my feelings, I'm really happy right now. I think this is a moment that I've been working for during the entire preseason. And you know, it's really weird when you get to that final point. You start trembling because you can think of like the what ifs. So for me, I feel like I'm living in a what if right now.
I've been thinking about that over and over. What does that mean? What does she mean by I'm living in a what if? But certainly you, I think all human beings, when you're on the cusp of something incredible, you're on the cusp of a breakthrough, you're on the cusp of achieving all of these dreams that you've worked so hard for, that's very often where the nerves come in, because then as you stand on the cusp, you can kind of survey the landscape and you get caught up looking at how this is going to change your life. And there's also this element to not having really grasped the full nature of what she's done, which is her second Australian championship, two U.S. Opens as well, and the fact that she's beaten so many great players along the way and that she's ascending to the top of the mountain in her sport. So I kind of feel like that's what she was talking about. I'm living in a what if, because I'd considered all these possibilities and for so long that's all they were. What if, what if, what if? But those dreams and those visions, they spurred her on. Though in the very next breath, she was asked about why she was so nervous, because she mentioned her nerves and how really nervous and also the trembling before this match against Jennifer Brady.
Why was I so nervous? I think, you know, you want to win a Grand Slam, you know what I mean? Like, you don't go into a final yes. wanting to be the runner-up. For me, I feel like every opportunity that I play a slam is an opportunity to win a slam. So I think maybe I put that pressure on myself too much, but it's working out in my favor right now.
It definitely is. Congratulations to one Naomi Osaka. Again, I feel like more of her in 21 is a good thing, not just for tennis, not just for women's sports, but for the sport landscape overall, because she brings such great energy. She really, to use an old cliche, a breath of fresh air. And I'm reminded that that's what John Harbaugh has said about Lamar Jackson. That's what Andy Reid has said about Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, is a new daddy. His daughter's name is Sterling, I think. So he and his fiance Brittany had their first daughter, their first child over the weekend. And if I remember correctly, her name is Sterling. Just a sweet little picture of a hand, a pink wrinkled hand. That was the photo that was posted out there. And so congratulations to both Patrick Mahomes and his fiance Brittany. But anyway, my point is that Andy Reid has talked about how working with Patrick Mahomes has given him new life and new energy and a new enthusiasm for the game. And I feel that way about Naomi Osaka. Now, I know Simone Biles has been around longer than Naomi in terms of her achievements and being at the pinnacle of the gymnastics world, but I am all in on the Olympics in 2021. Of course, they were postponed for a full year. That changes things for a lot of athletes because it's another year of training for older athletes. Sometimes it's hard to stay on top. And when it comes to Olympic sports, you don't get the same opportunities every year. But I also feel like 2021, if we get a healthy dose of Simone Biles, it'll be a good year because that means the Olympics will have moved forward and not been postponed or delayed again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Sterling Sky Mahomes. Sterling Mahomes. Yeah, you have to check out the photo. It's been out there. I think it was on Instagram that Mahomes shared it, but It's his fiance's hand. You can tell by her fingernails. And then this little wrinkled hand of the baby with the hospital bracelet on. It's just so sweet, so precious. So congratulations to them. Now, while Naomi Osaka is more of a toddler in the world of tennis, and she's been working a long time towards this, but she's just really taking the tennis world by storm, Novak Djokovic, and he's a guy that's been around for long enough now to win not just nine Australian Open men's singles titles, but 18 overall, which puts him just two behind the pace set by Roger Federer and now Rafael Nadal. And Federer, for the longest time, it looked like the pace that he was setting was going to be untouchable when it came to Grand Slams on the men's side. But that is not the case. The age, the injuries, they've slowed him down, of course. Rafael Nadal dominates at the French Open, and here is Novak Djokovic, who has essentially made the Australian Open his personal playground. And so his ninth down under, his 18th Grand Slam title overall.
I try to remind myself, pinch myself, of how important this is. And you know, even though I have been fortunate to win many majors and play in many major finals in my life, I do enjoy the success every single time even more.
Even if our listener on Facebook had never heard of Novak as a tennis player, don't you think he would have heard of that whole flap last year when Novak was hosting, it was like a charity event, right? And he was doing it in his home country, and they kind of were poo-poo with some of the different protocols that the tennis world had set up. And so both he and his, I think it was his wife, is it wife or girlfriend, his significant other, they both ended up with the virus, and he did this whole mea culpa. I'm so sorry. I know it's serious. I messed up. I mean, if nothing else, that went viral about Novak Djokovic last year when we had fewer people to pick on in the sports world. Cam Newton, by the way, is going viral for all the wrong reasons. We'll talk about that coming up, but it reminded me of the commercial he did with the young kid. Remember the NFL plays, the commercial where the young kid is like flexing his little bony arm and he's like, I'm coming for your job or something along those lines. That happened in real life, sort of, with Cam Newton at his own camp over the weekend. So now Cam is going viral for something that has nothing to do with his feats on the football field. And so we begin another work week.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Martian wheels up the line into the left circle, centers, fired the score! David Pastrnak able to snap one home from the bottom of the right wing circle. Pasta is one of the specials here today in Tahoe. 1-0 Bruins. Richie centered right of the net. Pastrnak, he scores! Two helpings of pasta today. David Pastrnak makes it a 3-2 Bruins lead. As they keep the puck in high slots, Danica near circle, it's fired, they score! That's a hat trick for David Pastrnak. Somebody throw one here. He's got three, and the Bruins with the extra point lead it 7-3 over the Flyers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You can never have too much pasta. That's my evaluation of the Bruins game. NHL outdoors on the ice at Lake Tahoe. It wasn't quite under the lights when it started, but they did have the lights up on cranes as they were there on the shores of Lake Tahoe. An incredible backdrop. I mean, simply gorgeous. If you haven't seen it, we put photos and a video up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Boston had three goals in 99 seconds in the second period to really blow the Flyers out of the lake. And you hear the Pastrnak hat trick on the Bruins radio network. It's kind of cool to hear the guys talk about playing outdoors, and not just outdoors, but playing at Tahoe. And John Moore of the Bruins has actually played in a few of these games. I think Yankee Stadium he played in with the NHL Outdoor Series. But to hear him talk about Tahoe, it was just neat to know that they appreciated it as much as I did.
Hats off to the NHL and everyone who made this happen. It was really special. You know, it's a tough year without fans, but you can't say enough about this event. I've been fortunate to play in a couple of outdoor games, and this one just blows them all out of the water.
So that's really cool. Now, it wasn't quite so seamless for the earlier game or the Saturday game that had a 9-hour intermission. But, man, it was gorgeous. I know that the sunshine was wreaking havoc and was causing the ice to get a little bit slushy. And I don't think the guys were complaining as much. I think the Golden Knights were okay with postponing it. The Colorado Avalanche, to a man, said, hey, we were ready to go back out there. We tried to convince the league, but they wouldn't let us. So they had this 9-hour intermission in between their first period and their second period when they resumed. And it was 9 o'clock Tahoe time, so midnight Eastern time by the time they actually got back on the ice. So certainly a really weird day. And yet the Avalanche said, hey, we would have gone out there and done whatever we needed to do against the Golden Knights. I just love the fact that it was visually breathtaking because there were no fans, of course. The NHL is trying. In fact, Gary Bettman has been pretty adamant about the fact that they very well could have skipped this entire season, the 2021 season, but that they didn't because they believe the fans love the game and they want to do this for the fans and for hockey lovers all over the world. And so this was an undertaking that was new for them to be at Lake Tahoe, and they essentially created the rink on what was an 18th hole, the 18th green of a golf course that they're in Tahoe. But you had the snow-capped mountains in the background, the light reflecting off the lake, and super bright. For those of you who understand the sunshine and the snow, it's not just the light coming down from above, it's the light coming up from the ground. And so, yeah, it was blinding. And I couldn't imagine playing in a game like that without sunglasses. But it was visually stunning, and it was perfect if you were watching it on TV or looking at some of the photos. So congratulations to the NHL for getting through that. And even with a couple of adjustments, I thought it was totally worth it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was the best of times and worst of times for Boston sports fans this weekend because you had the Celtics blowing a 24-point lead. So they did that against Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. And if not for this sweet floater by Jason Tatum with about 6 seconds to go in regulation, they probably don't even play into overtime. But Williamson was great, 24 of his 28 points in the second half. And Brandon Ingram with the 33 points, he got hot from downtown. This is the type of win, though, where you get everybody that's working toward the same goal, kind of pulling their same weight. It's the kind of win that could spark the Pelicans.
You know, it was a big win for us because, you know, we stayed true to who we were. We rallied back and, you know, everybody, the coaches, players, ball boys, everybody was just engaged, and you know, we needed all that energy, and we pulled through.
Now, can they maintain that energy or add to that and turn this into back-to-back wins and then maybe three in a row? Because the Pelicans are one of those teams that are about four games below 500, and while the bottom of the Western Conference is certainly attainable, the idea is that you want to use these last few weeks to go hard right into the All-Star break so that you can make up ground and prepare yourself for what is the stretch run post All-Star game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of going hard, March Madness is right around the corner, and this weekend CBS has two full days of college hoops triple headers. So the action starts on Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. It's a battle in the Big 12. So I guess I should tell you it's 11 a.m. Central Time between Texas and Texas Tech. On Sunday, three more games capped with the late afternoon Big Ten showdown. It's Iowa versus Ohio State. If you did not see the slugfest between Ohio State and Michigan over the weekend, holy cow, it was like a rock fight. But that's Big Ten basketball. Two college hoops triple headers on Saturday and Sunday starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. The road to the Final Four is on CBS, and Selection Sunday is just 3 weekends away, which is crazy. Now, Cam Newton. So I teased you about this, and I want to make sure that I follow through. There's this video that is now going viral, and we tried to listen to the audio. So producer Dave, you tell me the audio. You can't really understand what Cam Newton's saying with this young kid at his camp.
There's a lot of background noise. There might be some bad words mixed in there that we didn't have time to edit out, but just the sound It's not really radio quality, no.
Okay, so I watched it, but I didn't have the audio up, so I wasn't sure whether or not we could hear it. But I asked him to investigate. Doesn't sound like it's radio quality. So we'll just kind of explain, but you can go. In fact, if you want, you can find the video on a variety of platforms, including TikTok. Don't ask me why. But Cam Newton is running this camp for young football players, right? And here he is, a former NFL MVP who's still active in the league. And this young camp kid starts heckling him at his own camp about how he's a free agent. And so what does Cam respond with? I'm rich. I mean, speak their language, right? Childish begets childish. You may think that I'm not worth anything because I'm a free agent right now. I don't have a team, but I'm rich. And then apparently Cam decided that it was impossible to reason with a young kid at his camp. And so instead, he asked the kid if he could talk to his dad. Like, hey, can I straighten this out with your dad? Anyway, so I do feel like some of the criticism leveled at Cam is a little misplaced. I mean, this is a kid at his own camp who's heckling him, number one. Number two, don't be a smartass. What is this? I have no idea how old the kid is, but are you kidding me? It's Cam Newton. If you get halfway to where Cam Newton has been in his career, then you will be doing something. And that's saying a lot. How many of those kids at camp would love to be in the NFL, and so few guys ever excel? And he's won an MVP. He's played in a Super Bowl. And here's this young punk heckling him about how he's a free agent. You know what that means? It means I have an opportunity to sign a new contract. So I don't have any issues with Cam Newton barking back at the kid about how he's rich. I mean, he could have said some other things. He could have said some really disrespectful things to the young punky kid. But I actually don't think that I'm rich is a nasty response. Des Bryant tweeted with the video, so kind of quoted it and said, Cam, you should have sent his ass home. Well, that's probably what I would have did. Like, what are you doing here? Get out. I mean, Cam talked back and forth with the kid and then asked to see his dad. So I don't get it. I know that whatever athletes do these days is certainly held up. And, we look at them like they're in a fishbowl, and that everything that they do is open for criticism. And for whatever reason, our society, our social media society, always tends to lean toward criticism instead of, hey, how about somebody tell this young kid to shut his mouth or to be a little more respectful of the guy whose camp he's attending? Oh, the irony in all of that. Anyway, so I don't have any issue with Cam Newton. I think he's funny. The fact that he even stopped to talk to the kid is interesting, too, and that he wanted to talk to his dad. I haven't heard that he said anything really rude or disrespectful or obscene to the kid. So good for you, Cam Newton. You are rich, and that's something that you should be proud of.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It is second down and 18. Wentz back again. He steps up. He is floating it, and it is caught by Fulgham, who's in for a touchdown, I believe. Yes, Travis Fulgham, of all people. Travis Fulgham, get to know him. He just caught a touchdown, a 42-yard touchdown from Wentz.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Who exactly was Carson Wentz throwing to this year? I rest my case. Merrill Reese and company on the Eagles radio network. So Carson Wentz has thrown his last touchdown for the Eagles, if all the reports of the trade are true. And we have now heard from Carson himself. It's been a while since Carson surfaced for air. He's been in his submarine below water, allowing his team to make his wishes known to the Eagles. But he did finally take to social media to bid farewell to the city and to his teammates. The team where he won a Super Bowl. He's part of a Super Bowl campaign. And, of course, the city of Philadelphia. And you can go and you can read the post on his Instagram. But he said, what a journey. That was how he started. And he finished with, as one chapter closes, another one begins. And now he has a fresh start. He can clear his head. He can reunite with Frank Reich. And many people are pointing to that relationship, one that Frank Reich not only cultivated, but has wanted to reignite in Indianapolis, of course. They point to that as the key to this working out for Carson. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not for nothing, if you're an NFL fan and you're anticipating what's to come in the days leading up to free agency. So there are certain dates where the NFL teams have to be underneath the salary cap, right? And we're still waiting to find out exactly what that number will be. But it's expected to be close to the floor, which is $180 million, a sizable decline from what it was a year ago or what it was this past season. And so we're going to see a lot of salary cap casualties. One of our favorite former general managers, Randy Mueller, was with the show here on Thursday night, and he said most of the people he's talked to inside the NFL predict that there are going to be more really good players without teams. And the way he put it, more really good players on the street. That was his way of saying it. Come not just this period where teams have to get underneath the salary cap, but also even once they get past the draft and on closer to the season, it's going to be really difficult for free agents, even some big time, high profile free agents, to find jobs. So if you're one of those NFL fans who's anticipating, maybe with excitement or with some dread, who might end up being a cap casualty, there are lists out there of guys who are most likely or potentially going to be cut from their teams. And it's really based on their salary and their cap hits and how much the team can recoup from their salary if, in fact, they allow this player to go. And so I'm anticipating it, but with kind of, you know, so a knot in my stomach, like, this is going to be bad. And I know the pandemic has affected every industry in a financial way that's been devastating. Well, most toilet paper's been just fine. But there are a lot of industries that are feeling the crush and feeling the weight of an economy that was severely impacted by this past year. And sports are no different. They may have more of an insulation in the NFL. The owners of professional sports teams, they can absorb losses the way that most Americans cannot. But it doesn't mean that the industry as a whole isn't also going to see significant fallout from what's been the last year. And Mueller told us, and I've heard this from others, don't expect it to end in 21, because it's almost the financial impact is almost realized a year later. So don't look for the salary cap to go skyrocketing again in 22. These could be decisions that the team is making not just for today, but for down the road. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What's cool to hear Hall of Famer Bill Polian on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And of course, he's one of the architects, one of the great architects in the NFL. He built multiple franchises and teams, but the Colts is really one of the places where he made his name and made his reputation. And he was saying he's actually happy for both teams, which I hadn't heard much of. I'd heard, hey, I'm really happy for the Colts. I hadn't heard a lot of people say that they thought this was the right thing for the Eagles.
Kind of happy for both sides. They Carson got to go with a coach that he very much likes and respects, and the Colts got to fill a big need. And I don't think there's any question that Frank Reich can get him straightened out. He's going to a team with a lot of receiving talent, a lot of offensive talent, really good offensive line, and so it's kind of a win-win. And the Eagles got a nice deal for a guy unloading a contract that, you know, in many respects was untenable for them.
Well, true. I just can't get past the $34 million cap hit. You get the major cap hit, seriously, it could be 19% of their salary cap space in 21. How does a team operate like that? If it's me, I keep him on the roster and I have him play. I mean, at least you're paying him then to do something as opposed to taking a cap hit to go play for another team. But the Eagles felt like it was better to cut bait now and to not clickbait, but to move forward now and try to recoup at least some of that money, since the Colts were picking up all of Carson's remaining years and money on his contract. And then Polian further expands on Carson Wentz specifically and why this was the right move for the Eagles, because they have Jalen Hurts, of course.
I think that the Eagles arrived at that point where they said, you know, if we have both these guys in the locker room, it's going to be a problem. Hmm. And Carson's contract was also a problem for a team that's cap-strapped and has to essentially start over, I think. Better to do that, wish Carson well in the future, get something for him while you can, which was, you know, it's valuable enough currency, that's for sure, and then, you know, move on. Now, maybe the incumbent right now is not the quarterback of the future. We'll find that out, but I think they did what they had to do in order to avoid a quarterback controversy, especially in a city like Philadelphia where the media is so vociferous. I mean, they would have been in the locker room constantly just beating on that to the point where nobody could concentrate on anything else.
But won't it be great when the media is actually allowed back in the locker room? That, my friends, will be some semblance of normal. Good stuff there from Bill Polian. You can understand why he's a Hall of Famer, right? On Sirius XM NFL Radio. And so he points to a potential quarterback controversy that wasn't going to be good for the locker room, but also that even if Jalen Hurts is not their quarterback of the future, and producer Dave, you were not here when I outlined my fix it. My solution for the Eagles at their quarterback spot. I got it. It makes so much sense. Once you let me explain it, just hear me out. It makes a ton of sense. But for Bill Polian, even if Hurts is not your long-term solution, for Carson Wentz, it wasn't going to be tenable to sit, right? So he wasn't going to be thrilled with it. They didn't want this controversy in the locker room, regardless of who was more popular. And they're about to go through a bunch of rebuilding anyway with a new head coach. And Zach Ertz is expected to be one of those who is likely a salary cap casualty. So here is, and mostly I just like it because it comes full circle, but here is my solution. Are you ready? Buckle up. Just with me a couple of years now. Go back to when Nick Foles was the backup and Carson Wentz got hurt twice, 2 years in a row. One ends up with a Super Bowl win. The next one ends up with, what was it, 6 straight wins and a spot in the divisional round of the playoffs for the Eagles. The whole debate, even Brett Favre, everybody weighed in, but Brett Favre even risked his friendship with Doug Peterson to say they should have kept Nick Foles. The debate raged for years. The Eagles said, no, 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 no. We're committed to Carson Wentz. These two, not that they couldn't coexist, but they wanted Nick Foles to go out and seek the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We know how that worked. Now the Bears don't want Nick Foles either, but they've got his contract. So why not bring him back? Jalen Hurts is not, he's not, at least we haven't seen enough yet for me to say this is the quarterback of the future. I honestly don't think that he is. I believe he's a great athlete. He can be an asset, maybe more like a Taysom Hill. Although at this point, Taysom Hill is better at it than Jalen Hurts is. But I don't think he's the quarterback of the future. Maybe that changes in year number two. But you need someone to start. And Nick Foles has had his greatest success in Philly. And wouldn't it be a delicious full circle to bring Nick Foles back from Chicago? Oh, the irony. But also, he has familiarity with the system as well. Nick Sirianni came from Frank Reich's staff. It's Frank Reich and Doug Peterson that tailored the offense to fit Nick Foles when they were making that run to the Super Bowl. So I'm just saying, there's some comfortability and familiarity all around.
It's not a bad idea.
Yes!
I mean, it's. I don't know if you expected me to call you crazy or something
yes,
the way
I
you
was.
Were presenting it, but it's not a bad bridge to, while also having the chance to be decent.
It's a bridge. Exactly.
Yeah, but he's also good enough to say, you know, give me some sort of offensive line and not kill the guy. And he can get you to someone.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
In the next 2 to 3 years, he can get you to someone, assuming you find the future. So I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
Right. Although, as you say that, they have no offensive line and they have no receivers and they have somewhat of a running game, but Foles is not mobile. So in that regard, then Jalen Hurts would probably be a better option because at least he can scramble. I don't really want to see Nick Foles die on the football
field. I don't want to see that either. And I think you do need someone with some mobility So maybe they give Hurts a long leash at this point, but bringing in a guy like that, or like a Fitzpatrick even, who you can just say, learn from this guy. If we need him, we can plug him in, still have some respectable quarterback under center. It's not bad. Not a bad idea.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I tried to sell it. I think I spent a good hour on our show on Thursday night, Friday morning selling it. All right, let's talk to Alan, who's in Toronto. Alan, I'm so not kidding. You got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
I was in Lake Tahoe in a long time ago, and it runs 1,600 feet deep, and it is enough to cover all of California to 14 inches.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say is I'm very surprised that they would have a game there, even two games there, because there's no fans in the stands, and
there were no stands at all.
Yeah, and they're going to lose their shirt. I can understand why they had the other outdoor games, because you're selling out. You're getting 30, 40, 50,000 people to go to the game, but you're not getting any fans at all. So you're in effect, you're really losing your shirt. So I'm very surprised they had it, unless it was because of the NBC contract. You know, maybe they were obligated to have it because of the NBC contract, but otherwise it makes no sense to even have it.
Well, I'm glad that not everything in the NHL is dictated by money, because Gary Bettman's already told us that the NHL is losing a ton of money this season, and that the owners, there were some owners who actually would have been okay with skipping the season, but he said they felt like they had a responsibility to their audience and their fans. I'm sure you're onto something there, that there was a contract with NBC, but honestly, Alan, I don't know how much they paid for that, but I would suspect that Lake Tahoe and the NHL had an agreement, because it also highlights Lake Tahoe, right? And she looked glorious on Saturday and Sunday. So I appreciate that. Thanks so much for your phone call. Someday I will be like you, and I also will visit Lake Tahoe. It's on the bucket list. I'm thinking Tahoe and the Grand Canyon sometime in the next 5 years. Those are both doable, especially since we may never be able to travel outside the country's borders again. I'm sorry, I'm being snarky. On that note, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.